Today's daf is daf kuf tes vav. So we got to the bottom of kuf yud dalet amid beis. The Gemara says as follows: Amar b'Yochanan mashkano umeis shomtum agave banav. What does this mean? So look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom: mashkano umeis love la'acher sheheishiv lo es ha'avot. So the after love, after he had been returned his mashkan, right? He gave the mashkan to the malva, then the malva returned it back to the love, then the love dies now. So you're allowed to shomto malve me'al gavei banav. Now the malva, the bank, could go ahead and take that mashkon away from the children. The children now are yorish that mashkon. Vei nase etzlo kishar metaltlin shilahen shalom mishtabdi lebal chov. There's halacha that if a father dies and he owes money to a bank, so now all the metaltlin that the children have, the bank cannot collect metaltlin. That's a din. So, but this particular mashkon had been going back and forth between the malva and the love, back and forth from every day, so that he's allowed to take, that's the one exception, says Rashi, Dechevan de Meshkane Kanya. This is the mashkon of the malva. He owns it. He just every morning, Lechat Yetzadak, he gives it back to the love so he could use it, but then takes it back at night. So it's really the malva. So even though the father, the love dies, the malva could go ahead and take it away from the children. Asks Gemar, Mesive Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir asks the question, or we're the quoting of Bryce, the statement of Rabbi Meir, V'chi ma'acha shemeshkenin lama machzirin. So if it's the mashkon, the malva takes the mashkon, so why does the bank return it every day to him? It's his. Mar says, I'm a machzirin, and Rachman Amar Hadeh, the Pasuk says, the mitzvah they return the mashkon every single morning, so he has something to wear. Se'ela, no. Me'achar she'machzirin, the question of the Bryce is, after, since they return it to him every single morning or every single night, lama chozin mashkinan. So why do they always take it back every single day? What's he gaining? What should happen is the malva takes it once. It's my mashkon. The next day, it's yours. And you could keep it until you pay him back the money. But it's really the malva's. It's really the malva has a taina on it. He has a certain lien on that properly. So the Gemara says the reason why every single day he goes back and forth, back and forth. Shaloti hei shviyas, says the Gemara. Shaloti shviyas misham taso. So shmita is not going to be mishamita. We know that shmita is ksafin. The way it works is it cancels out all loans. But if a mashkon is given, then it's protected. So Rashi says shaloti hei shviyas misham taso dilave mashkono biyado v'hamalva al mashkon eino mishamit. If the malva just lets the lova keep it, there's no mashkon. But apparently, the way it works, that you go back and forth every single day, that's going to be considered a strong enough mashkon to prevent Shemitah's Ksafim from kicking in.
Tosa says, he won't be kofer on it, but even more is that he will be misbayish every day.
Oh, so that's the next line. We haven't gotten there yet, I think. I think we're getting that very soon. So the Gemara says, and so that's number one. The reason number one that they go back and forth is so Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't kick in. And two, says the Gemara, V'lo yaseh metaltelin etzel banav. So Rashi says, V'lo yaseh metaltelin etzel banav. It shouldn't be viewed as movable objects for the children. Shelo yomus be'od ha'mashkon muchser lo v'yeh metaltelin etzel banav. Because if the malva takes it once, then gives it to the lova to keep forever until you pay me back. Now they're going to say, oh, this is our property. You have no taina. So it goes back and forth. It's very clear that it's really the banks, and therefore the children have no taina. So the Gemara, we haven't gotten to the question yet. The question is now, taima dahadar mashkanei, only because each day he takes it again back and forth, the bank. But halo hadar mashkanei lo. But if he weren't to take it back every single day, so then it wouldn't be a mashkan. But we said above, the halacha was that if it takes the mashkon, the malva takes the mashkon and returns it back to the children. And it stays in the children's property. The father dies now, rather, and then the children take it. The bank can confiscate it from the children. But here the Gemara says you could only confiscate it if it goes back and forth every single day. But if you just take it once and leave it with the father dies, you cannot take it from the children, says the Gemara. So the answer is, Amar Rav Ada bar Masna v'lav tiruta kumitar tisle. So did we already say the Bryce that there's a problem in the Bryce in the first place? So Tarts, we're going to answer. We already fixed the Bryce once. So now once it's open to being fixed, let's fix the Bryce entirely and read the Bryce of a Tarts Hachi. Say it should read as follows. So from the fact that they return it every single morning, this mashkon, lama mimashkinan meikara. Why did they initially take a mashkin in the first place? It's no value to the bank because they're giving it back to them every single day. Why go through this whole tircha of a mashkin? The Gemara says, Shelo te shviyas misham tasov lo yaseh metaltan eto banav. So what happened initially, Bryce was saying, is you have to do it every single day back and forth for the mashkin to kick in But now the Gemara says, no, you have to do it just one time. Doing it one time, giving the mashkon, taking the mashkon once, and then returning it back to the lover, that is sufficient to protect it from working ever. And that's all you need to do. And that's what the Gemara ends up answering. Now, in light of Andy's point, look at Tosas on the top here. Tosas says, Lama mashkinan meikara, why do you have an initial mashkon in the first place? You have to give it back to him anyways. So asks Tosas, Hikshar Rabbeinu Achanan, V'lama chozer u'mashkaninan, why do you return it back and take it again every single day? One time is enough. So V'yesh lomar, this is what Tosas and Andy was saying, K'dei shel yuchal halover lichvor. So number one is, if you did it one day, and then 5 years later, you say, that was my mashkon, he's going to deny it ever happening. So if you do it every single day, there's no room for kfira. V'gam yimahir lefarcho v'olvakesh maos, he's going to be embarrassed. Every single day, everyone knows the bank comes, returns your clothing, and takes back the pajamas. It's embarrassing. So he wants to, it's going to therefore ensure that he pays sooner than later. Okay. Mar now says, Tanu Rabbanan, quotes a Braisa. Braisa says, quotes from a pasuk that's found in, there's a pasuk in Dvarim here, and then a few other pasukim in Mishle. The Gemara says, Lo savo el beso lavot avota. You can't go to the Lova's house to collect a mashkon. Lebeso, the Gemara's medayik, iata nichnas. You can't go to his home. Vata nichnas lebeso shel Ariv. You could go to the cosigner's home and properly take it. Now that's not very fair. The Ariv is doing the Lova a favor by backing up the Lova. So you can't go to the Lova's property, but you can go to the Ariv's property. But that's what Pasuk says. Only to the Beso, the base Lova you can't go, but the Ariv you're allowed to. And v'chein hu omer, lokach bigdo, you could take the beged, ki arav zar, you could take the arav's clothing as a mashkam. Now the svar for this, as they point out in the Rishonim, is the reason why you can't, the Rabbeinu Yonasan, one of the Rishonim says, the reason why you can't go to the Lova's property is because, other way around, the reason why you can go to the Arav's property is because it's ki'ilu, there's a mashkam mishas halva. Remember we saw that yesterday, that a mashkon b'shas halva was given at the outset, then you are allowed to go into the house of the lova. So if you have an ariv, a cosigner, that's like he's your mashkon. So that's why you're allowed to enter into the home of the mashkon of the ariv, you're allowed to collect, because he's like a mashkon b'shas halva also. The Ein Yaakov writes differently. The Ein Yaakov says the reason why you can't go to the house of the lova is because it's embarrassing to him. But the ariv is not embarrassed. It wasn't. He didn't default the payment. It was the lova did. There's no embarrassment on part of the Ariv, so you're allowed to go into the Ariv's home to collect it. But go to Lova's home. He's so embarrassed he didn't pay. And not only that, you're taking his property. That's too embarrassing. That's why Lo Savo El Beso, but the base Ariv, one's allowed to enter in. Mara quotes a pasuk further now. This pasuk's in Mishle as well, the Omer. It's a long pasuk. The pasuk says, Bini, my son, Imarav Tel Reachav. You served as a cosigner for your dear friend. So then, Takot Lazar Kapecha, you have to clap hands, shake hands. It's a deal. You have a responsibility now of paying back. Nokashta bermificha, nokate bermificha. Nokashta is to be kasha, dibur kasha, speak harshly, or nokata is lashon of to trap. If you spoke falsely, meaning you claimed you were lying, you told the guy you were going to back him up, but you really didn't mean it. So then, so the pasuk says, Asa zos efo bini, do this, my dear son, v'inatzel, you'll be protected. What does that mean? If you had a real handshake, you slapped hand, it was really a deal, you really wanted to be Ari firm. So then, Lech Hisrapes. Gemara says, Hitir le pisas yad. Hisrapes means hitir, pass, open your hand up, pay the money because you shook on it. But the Rav Reacha, if however you were lying, you're just tricking him, Rav Reacha means to with friends, you want to be you have to appease him. So Gemara elaborates. If you have mamon, really you took upon yourself a handshake, tuck of yado, you shook his hand. So then, hitir lo pisas yad, you have to be leich hisrapes deposit, because open hitir, open up your hand, pay the money that you owe. But im lav, if you didn't really mean it, if you're simply now kashta bimeficha or nokata bimeficha, you're tricking the guy. So then the other part of the pasuk says, then imaharbe alav reim, rahav reacha, bring a lot of friends to ensure that you could appease him. Say, please mocha me for tricking you. I know I told you I was going to back you up, but I was really just joking here. Sorry about the $1 million own, the loan that you owe now. I was just tricking you. So then the etza is to appease him, sending friends and gifts to him. Okay, litzad sheni. The other interpretation of the pasuk is back to the original pasuk. Lo savo beso. You can't go into his home. If he owes you money, you cannot enter into his home because of a halva. Aval, when are you allowed to enter into his home? Ata nichnas l'schar kosev. Let's say he owes you money because you schlepped something from him. He paid you to move. Or l'schar chamer, or he paid your donkeys to carry his, paid you to hire your donkeys. Or l'schar pundak, where he stayed at your hotel and didn't pay you. Or l'schar duknos, which Rashi says you painted something for him. All those cases, you are allowed to enter into his home if he didn't pay you what he owes you. For halva, for loan, that's when you don't enter him. Lo sava al beso, dafka for a loan, you can't enter him. But if he owes you money because of a schiris, then you are allowed to enter into his home. That's the diak that this Gemara now says should be made. So the Gemara says, yachal afil zakvan alav b'milva. Let's say he owes you money, but he hired you.
If he owes him money, he has to go to Beistin, right? I mean, he can't just go in and get him married.
Good question. So that's the point. We spoke about this yesterday about Ovid Inish Dina Dinafshe. Sometimes a person may enter.
That's only the Evid, I'm saying, that the Gemara here is. So it looks like Lechachila.
So that's a machlok, is whether Lechachila one's allowed to do this. Uh-huh. The Gemara there, I don't think, brings in this Gemara. I'm trying to remember. I don't think this Gemara is brought in. So it's a good question, though. How is he able to do this? Why doesn't he bring in Bezdin's intervention? I'm not sure why. I don't know how you drive that with the other. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Let me take a quick look here. Get back.
Maybe you see the word jive.
I'm not sure. I don't know. No one's addressing the question about it here. It's a good question.
It might be that it's okay.
The question is why, if you assume a person low of it in his dinafshe. And why this? So the Gemara does bring a number of proofs in Bava Metzia, and Bava Kama about Avad Inish Dina Dinafshe, but I don't think they bring this Gemara here. Okay. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Yachal Afilu Zakvan Alav B'Milva. Let's say he owes you money. Then you say, you know what? I'm going to view this as a loan. You owe me money now. Not as schar, but as a milva. So maybe even then, once you turn the owed money to you into a halva, maybe even then he's allowed to enter into your home. Gemara says, Tamalomar mashas mu'uma. Anytime there's a mashas, that yinosha, where he owes you money, not as schiris, but it's turned into a loan, you are not allowed to enter into his home anymore. Only if he owes you schiris, but if he owes you a halva, you cannot enter into his home. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us that almana, benshi adniya, benshi ashira, ein mimash kanin osa. A widow, whether or not she is wealthy or not, you can never take a mashkon from her. The reason is, shenemar lo sachbol beged almana. Mefurish pasuk, you cannot take a mashkon from an almana. So there's a big discussion in the Achronim that does only mean almana or other situations, women as well. So the Sma says that the same thing applies to a grusha, a divorcee also. One shouldn't go in there. And the reason is because an almana has no one to help her out. Grusha says nobody to help her out. So the reason is, don't take any of her property away. So it applies to an Amman and a Grusha alike. But the Sma says he does draw the line when it comes to Besula, a single woman who has never been married. So you are allowed to take a Mashkon because she is being supported by her father still. So she does have help, so you are allowed to take a Mashkon from her. But the other is, the Taz argues, and the Taz says, no, anytime there's a single woman, even if she's never been married before, even though she's a basula, even though she's in the father's home, there's an isser to take it away. Because the other reason why you can't take it away, not because she's not being supported, but also because all the neighbors, as we'll see in a little bit, the neighbors are going to start saying, wait a second, what's this guy doing at this single lady's house every single morning returning the mashkon? Because of that, because of the shame ra, that's why you can never take a mashkon from a single lady, regardless of her status. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Tanur Rabbanan. Almana, bein she ania, bein she ashira, a widow, whether or not she's wealthy or poor. Ein mashkinon osa, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, you can never take a mashkon from her. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, ashira, mimashkinon osa, ania, ein mashkinon osa. Rabbi Shimon says, it depends. If she's wealthy, so she could do it. She could give up a mashkon, that's okay. But only if she's poor, you cannot take it. Why? She says, she'ata chayv lahachzir la, So the reason is because this line is really explained. This is the, one second here. So I think this is explaining Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why, because since you have to return it to her, you're going to create a shame ra among her neighbors, that's why you can't return it. So I believe this is explaining Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, why you cannot even take a mashkon from a ashira.
No, it's
But then why would you be able to take a mashkin from an ashir? Each morning you're going
to
go back.
Because you'll have to go back every morning.
Maybe when she
doesn't need it.
Yeah.
When she's wealthy, maybe she has people around, like servants.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Ken's wife did it.
Could be, okay. She's not involved in business. Yeah, that's what it's saying. It says you don't have to return it back. Since the Ashir has other stuff, she not because of people around necessarily, but since she has other things, you don't need to return it back to her. So the chiv of returning the mashkan only applies to one who needs it. One who doesn't need it, so you're allowed to return it. Fine. So the Gemara now says that l'meimra, is this to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time of the Kra, and Rabbi Shimon darish time of the Kra? Rabbi Yehuda says across the board. Across the board, you never take a mashkin because of the positive, because almana. I don't care the reason for it. You don't give an almana. You don't take a mashkin from an almana. Rabbi Shimon is darshi time of the cross. The reason is because it's going to create shechinas. The neighbor's going to say things. And since the ashir, you don't need to return it to, so there's no neighbors that are going to speak. So therefore, it's permitted to an ashira. So Rabbi Shimon is darshi time of the cross. But v'ha ibcha shmeinale, don't we know in general it's the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda is darish time of the Kra, and Rabbi Shimon is not darish time of the Kra. The sign of the Braita tells us this appears in the second parak of Sanhedrin as well. V'lo yar b'lo nashim, the pasuk says in Parshas Shoftim. A king cannot have too many horses. So what's going on here? So Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, mar behu, u'bevad shel yihi mesiras es libo. You're allowed to have as many as you want, just so long as he doesn't, the horses don't remove your... you're right. I'm sorry, woman. I'm sorry. He is a woman. So look at the pasuk says. So the pasuk says, very important. Read the pasuk.
No comment.
Lo yar belo nashim lo yasul levavo. A person shouldn't have a lot of wives because lo yasul levavo. It's going to take his heart, his focus away from what he should be focused on. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the pasuk says, lo yar belo nashim because of Messiah's slave. So he answers. Rabbi Yehuda says, Marbehu, he's allowed to have as many wives as he wants, ubilvad shli himasiros as libo. So long as he doesn't, women don't take his heart, his focus away from following the Torah. It's his darish time at the Grah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu achas vimasira as libo, hareiz lo yisena. So he says, even if it's one and she takes you off the path of Derech Hashem, that one person, that woman, he shouldn't marry. So we see here that Rabbi Yehuda is darish time the Kra, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, la yarbe, you can't even have one extra one that she's going to take you off the path. So what's going on? Very strange machlokas. It seems that they're both arguing. They're both saying darish time of the Kra. Just saying, how do you, is it just one or many? So the Gemara explains further, im kain, ma tamalomer lo yarbe lo nashim. If Rabbi Shimon really holds even one who takes you off the derech is a problem, so why lo yarbe lo nashim? Why does it say you can't have a lot of wives? You shouldn't have one wife that takes you off the derech. So afilu kavigayel. So even it's like Avigail, the pasuk sounds like. If you have many wives, even if like such a nevi'im like Avigail was, that's a problem. Nothing to do with taking you off the derech. So what's going on here?
It seems that if he has already 18 and the 19th is like Avigail, there is an issue.
Nothing to do with the reason. 18 right. is the rule right. Based on the different psukim of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, right? But 19 would be a violation, even if it's so great as Avigail. So what's going on here? So therefore, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon holds that more than 18 is a problem, even if she doesn't take you off the derech. So he's not darish time of the Kra. So says the Gemara, you're right. Li'olam Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time of the Kra. In general, Rabbi Yehuda does not try to figure out reasons of psukim. And that's why here by Almana, he says you can never take a mashkin from Almana, regardless of if she's an aniyah or an ashira. We don't darish time of the Kra. So how come he's darish time of the Kra by lo yarbe lo nashim? The shiny hacha here, that case of lo yarbe lo nashim is referring to mefarish Kra, v'lo yarbe lo nashim v'lo yasir, the pasuk says. My time of lo yarbe lo nashim, why shouldn't you have many wives? Mishum, because the lo yasir, because it causes you to go off the derech. So only when the pasuk tells you the reason is Rabbi Yehuda going to be darshing that time. But Rabbi Shimon, michtei ba'alma, darshin in time of the Kra, Rabbi Shimon in general, this is the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai normally does darsh time of the Kra. He doesn't look for the psukim, don't tell us reasons. He tries to figure out reasons. That's his general shita. So, licht rachbana lo yarba. The pasuk should have simply said, lo yarba lo nashim and stop. V'lo ba'in and lo yasir. You don't have to say the reason of it. Because ana yadana, I would have known my time of lo yarba. I know why too many wives isn't a good idea. Mishim lo yasir. It takes you off the derech. So then he asks, so then therefore lo yaser de kasa rachman alamali. So what's the reason? The pasuk tells me the reason. It says itself understood. So Gemara says, afila achas u'mesir liba harezal yisana. No, because this dafka, this pasuk, since it says a reason, it's having more wives that are more than 18 objectively, that's always going to be a violation. And this is the dafka, the place where you aren't darish time of the crow. But in general, Rabbi Shimon is darish time in the Kra when the pasuk doesn't mention the reason. So that's why, by the case of a mashkon to almana, the pasuk doesn't give a reason. But the reason we understand why, because if every single day you're going to be taking that mashkon and returning it, the neighbors are going to start to speak. So therefore, it only applies to an aniya where you would be going back and forth every single day. The situation where the almana is an ashira, where you're not going back and forth every day, so then Rabbi Shimon allows you to take a mashkon from such an almana. Okay. New Mishnah tells us that Hachovas HaRechaim, a person who takes the Rechaim, a person's mill, as a mashkon, over Mishim Lo Sasa, there's an Isser involved, U V'chai Mishim Shnei Kalim, and also there are two Kalim that are involved, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yachbo Rechaim V'Rechav. The Pasuk says you cannot take a Rechaim V'Rechav. Rechaim is the mill, and the Rechav is the base. Those are two different Kalim, so you're violating the Lo Sasa of Lo Yachbo, don't take something of his. And you're also violating two different kalim. So Rashi to point out the rechev is the alyona, the top part is the rechev, and the tachton, the ban, the rechaim is referring to the base. So those are two different kalim.
Yeah, that's the wheel that used to go around.
I assume that's what it is. The top is the wheel,
right.
And the.
So the top is the wheel, and the bottom is the round base.
You can't take it because.
Pasuk success.
What's the story?
Well, the pasuk said, "Lo yachlo rechaim v'rechav." You're like, you're Rabbi Shimon. Ki nefesh shu chovel. That's his nef. That's just.
It's all he has.
Yeah. So the Gemara says now, rather the Mishnah says further, "But lo rechaim v'rechav bilvad amru." Not only rechaim v'rechav, even though that was singled out by the pasuk, "Ala kol davar she'osin bo ochel nefesh she'nemar ki nefesh shu chovel." Anything that makes, I don't know if he means parnas or even just food. It could be even pots and pans, where for his own personal use would be violation of this iser as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Chavel Rechaim Loke. A guy takes Rechaim Loke Shtaim. You're violating two Isurim.
It seems that it's what you say, that it's for his own.
Right, any person, yeah. Any food. Anything regarding in the kitchen. Yeah. So Amar Rav Huna, Chavel Rechaim. A guy takes the mill. So Loke Shtaim. He gets two sets of lashes. Mishum Rechaim, Mishum Kinefeshu. He took the rechaim. He only took the bottom part, the base. He didn't take the rechav. So he violates the rechaim. He also violates the general iser of lo yachbol ki nefesh uchovo. You're taking any item that has his ochel nefesh. It's an iser. It's an iser. It's called lav shebechlalos. And since you got one of the ones mentioned in the pasuk of the rechaim, you violate a second iser. If the guy is chavel rechaim v'rechav, he takes both the top and the bottom of this mill. He's lo kashalos. He gets three sets of lashes. Mishum Rechaim Berechav, two, one for each of the Kalim, and Mishum Ki Nefesh Shuchovah, and the general is sort of not to take his Ki Nefesh, any Ochel Nefesh would be a third violation. So Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar Chavah Rechaim Loke Achas, he argues, if you take the Rechaim, just the bottom part, you only get one Isser, and if you take the Rechav, sorry, 1 second here, Rechav loke achas. If you take just the rechav, if you take just the top, you also only get one set of lashes. But if you take rechaim v'rechav, you loke shtayim, you get two sets. But so what does he do? Why not a third iser? Why not the iser of kinefesh uchovel? What do we do with that pasuk? So he explains, kinefesh uchovel is not to teach me that there's a third lav in the pasuk here. That pasuk to teach me, lishar dvarim hudasa. Says Rashi, top line of kuf tes vav amr beiz, lishar dvarim lav lo sufi lav archaim rechav. Not to add another lav on top of taking the rechem, rechav rechaim, the harechaim rechav separation. It's already written in the pasuk. What's it needed? It's to explain Rashi kinefesh lerabbeth to include shar kalim sheocha nefesh, to include other types of utensils used for food. So that's a machlokas whether or not kinefesh is a separate lav or just a reboot to include other dvar. So the Gemara suggests lema abai v'rava b'pluksa the Rav Huna Rav Yehuda k'mithlagi. So we're going to say abai and rava, which we're about to see, lines up very nicely with Rav Huna Yehuda, what we just saw here. This machlokas, whether you're going to count kinefeshu as a general lava, links up with abai and rava. Who's abai and rava? Dama rava. Rava says achel na loke. We're talking about eating carbon pesach. We know the carbon pesach has to be eaten bitzli, roasted. But the pasuk also says, I'm reading the pasuk on the side here, al sochlo mimenu na, don't eat it na, don't eat it raw. And ubashim avusha b'mayim, also there's an issur to eat it cooked in water. Ki im tzliyesh, has to be eaten roasted. That's the pasuk. So it says about Rava, if you eat it achal na, if you eat the karban pesach na raw, you're lokeshtayim. One, because mishum na, you violated na, lo sochlu mimenu na. And another is mishum kiim tzliyesh. The pasuk al tochlu is going on kiim, unless it's roasted, is another lav. Those are two sets of loke, malkos, according to Rava. And if you eat it mevushal, if you eat it cooked, so then you're lokeshtayim. You get one iser of al tochlu mimena mevushal b'mayim, that's one iser. And the second iser of mishum kiim tzliyesh, that's another iser. That's shitas Rava. If you eat it not mavusha, let's say you eat it raw and cooked, I'm not sure I exactly accomplished that, but I guess some of it's raw, some of it's cooked in water, then your locus shalosh, you get three sets of lashes, mishum na, mishum mavushal, umishum lo sochlana kiim tliyesh. So that's all according to Rava. There's this generic issue of having to eat a dafka tliyesh. Anything that's not tliyesh is a lava shebechlal, it's a general issue.
So he's over because it's al tochlu mimenu kiim tliyesh, meaning it's...
Correct.
It's a
lotas. Exactly. It's since it's lo, it's a lav on not eating it,
right,
but tzli.
Right. It's like a double.
Exactly. So that's what Rava says. But Abai Amar ein lokin alav shebechalos. So you do not get a lav on a generic lav. Where's lav shebechalos? Mean, says Rashi, three lines down. Alav shebechalos mishum lo sechlenu kim tzliyesh de kail. Now that includes kail kolel. It includes na mevushal. When you require tzli, or you can't use na mavushal, right? Rashi says, vein lokin el al na mavushal shein mefurashim. When you can't eat it na, you can't eat it mavushal, memele, that means you have to, the only thing left is to eat it tzli. That's only three categories. There's cooked, there's raw, and then there's roasted. Cooked means with water. Roasted means without water. There's three ways, either not cooked, cooked with water, or roasted. So once you have that, tzliyesh includes the other two. A lav shebechlalos, if there's a generic lav that includes specific examples, details, that lav shebechlalos, you don't get an issur, you don't get a violation of. That's shitas Abaye. So let's line everything up nicely. So Lema Abaye, Abaye who holds you don't get, ain lokin al lav shebechlos, he lines up with Damar Krav Yehuda, who holds that there is no generic lav on ki nefeshu. That's not a generic lav. He doesn't have lav shebechlos. The ki nefeshu is including shar dvarim. But according to Rava, who says you are lokin al lav shebechlos, you are lokin on ki im tleish, is a separate lav, even though it also includes na umavusha, he lines up with Rav Huna, who thinks ki nefeshu by the lo sachbol is a separate iser, even though it's a lav shebechlos. Yep, we're good?
Yeah.
Fine. Says the Gemara, Amalacha Rava. Rava says, no. Ana damri afilu krav Yehuda. I who hold you get lav shebechlos by tzliyesh, I'll agree to Rav Yehuda that there is no separate lav of ki nefeshu by the rechav rechaim. Why? Ad kan lo kam Rav Yehuda hasam. Rav Yehuda only says by Rechaim that it's not a lav shebechlos because it says el dechi nefeshu chovel lo mash me Rechaim v'rechev hilkach l'shar dvarim hudasa. Because when you have the pasuk alone, you would think dafka rechev Rechaim would be subject to the iser. There's no reason to think other items are included. So ki nefeshu therefore must be used to include shar dvarim. It's no longer available for a lav. That has to be the way. In general, lav shebechlos is malchus. But this isn't a lav shebechlos. This is a case of a drasha. Hilkach l'shar dvarim hudasa. V'hacha here, kiim tliyesh l'mayasa. What could the word tliyesh come to include? There's nothing needed to be included. We already excluded We excluded mavushal. Tzli's what's left. There's nothing else to be included. So therefore, the only reason for it must be lamai asa. Nothing. Shma mina lalav. It must be for a lav. So it's a lav shebechlos. And since Rava holds malkin a lav shebechlos, there's a third group of malkos one would get for the lav tzliyesh. Abai says the opposite. Abai says no. I hold, even though I hold by Karim Pesach, there is no lav shebechlos, tliyesh is not a separate iser. Ana damri afilu Rav Huna. I agree to Rav Huna by the case of Rech Rechaim that kinefeshu is a separate lav. Why? Because ad la kan lo kamer Rav Huna hasam. Rav Huna only says by the Rech Rechaim case that kinefeshu is a separate lav. Only there, el dechinefeshu chaval itzisir. It's simply extra. Why? Why is it extra? Because since it's extra, we'll just throw it on top of it as another lav. So you have to look at Rashi here for a second. Rashi says that Yeserahu, the lav mishum shardvarm. The chayven the yaserahu lelav the kasvei stama shadia nami erichaim erech. If shein lechalotziyam imashveros kinefeshu chala, fine. About how didn't really explain much there. Okay, either way, he says the word kinefeshu is extra, and therefore it's being used as a separate lav. Aval hocha says the Gemara here by the case of Karim Pesach ki im tzliyesh lav yaserahu. It's not extra. It's mibarle. It's needed for the following brass. There's a drasha to be made from the pasuk ki tzliyesh. What's the drasha? L'chedetanya b'shash yeshna b'kum echol tzli yeshna b'bal tochlo na b'sh. Whenever there's a time where there's a chiv to roast it, so then there's also an iser to eat it raw. B'shash ein b'kum echol tzli, when it's not, when there is no active chiv to eat it roasted, then b'meila eino b'bal tochlo na, there is no iser of eating it. So when is this referring to? So look at Rashi. Rashi says that first Rashi, go three lines down. Aval hacha. It's not coming to add an extra lav. Like a braisa. What it means is if you cook it during the daytime or you eat it raw during the daytime, there's no issur because there's no chiv to eat but tzli during the daytime. Only at nighttime when there's a chiv to eat tzli, that's when there's an issur mevushal and now. That's what we learn from tzli. And therefore, kiyum tzli'esh is not available to create a separate lav. So this machlokas about Karim Pesach does not line up with the machlokas about the chovel recha recha.
Go ahead.